Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, The Island of Jambudvip, Text 5. Martyavatarastvahi Martya Shikshana. Raksho Vadhayaiva Nakevilam Viboho. Kutonyatasyad Ramatasva Atmana. Sita kritani vyasanam nanishvarasya. Martyavatarast vihi martya shikshanam. Rakshovadadhyayva nakevalam vibho. Kutonyatasyad ramatasva atmanaha. Sita kritani vyasananishvarasya. Matyavatarastvihi martya sikshana. Raksho vadadhyayva na kevalam vibho. Kutonyata syad ramatasva atmanaha. Sita kritani vyasanani shvarasya. Matyavatarastvi martya sikshana. Vakshavadadhyayva nekevalam vibho. Kutonyatasyat tasva atmana. Yavatvayasimarsashikshanam. Svesita Shikshana Raksha Vadadhyayva Nakevalam Vibho Kutonya Tasyat Ramatasa Atmana Sita Kritani Vyasanani Shvarasya. Vaishnavis, Matyavatarastvaya Martya Sikshana. Savadayaiva Nakevalam Vibho. Kutonya Tasya Dramatasvamana. Sita Kritani Vasanani Svarasya. Martya, as a human being. Avataraha, whose incarnation. Tulu, however. Iha, in the material world. Martya Shikshana, for teaching all the living entities, especially human beings. Rakshavadhaya, to kill the demon Ravana. Eva, certainly. Na, not. Kevalam, only. Vibho, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kutaha, from where? Anyata, otherwise. Syat, there would be. Ramataha, of one enjoying. Sve, in himself. Atmanaha, the spiritual identity of the universe. Sita, of the wife of Lord Ramachandra. Kutani, appearing due to separation. Vyasanani, all the miseries. Ishvarasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. So please repeat. It was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? Purport. When the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, he has two purposes, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:9. Parachanaya sadunam vinashaya dushkritam, to destroy the demons and protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by his personal presence, but he also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45, Yan mai tunadi griyamedi sukhami tuchcham kandu yanena karayor iva dukha dukham tri yantineha kripana bahuduka bhajaha kandutivan manasijam vishaheta diraha. Kripanas, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge and who are therefore just the opposite of brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees. To teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general, Lord Sri Ramachandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, underwent a series of tribulations because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramachandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, he never has any reason to lament for anything. Another aspect of the Lord's instructions is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men, those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramachandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of sitas from his pleasure energy, but just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravana, but also killed Ravana and all the members of his family. Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purusha, liberated persons under all circumstances. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, yata deka vaishnavera vyavahara dukha nishchaya janiha taha paramananda sukha. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, viraha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulations they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So the verse again, it was ordained that Ravana, the chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man, and for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. He is the self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead, and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? So these are part of the prayers being offered by Hanuman in one of the Varshas of Jambudweep, Kim Purusha Varsha. This word Kim Purusha is interesting. Kim means what kind of or what, and Purusha means human being. So means what kind of human being is this? Because Hanuman, although displaying many human-like characteristics, has a body resembling that of an ape or monkey. So the idea is that, you know, if an ordinary human being would see something like this, he would say, Kim Purusha, you know, what kind of human being is this? And in my particular service, sometimes this comes up because, you know, the material scientists, they sometimes talk about, you know, ape men. But this idea was already known, you know, to the Vedic sages, that yes, there are beings that have ape-like bodies, but also human characteristics, human intelligence, human speech, things like that. So, of course, according to the histories and the Puranas and the Itihasas, yes, there were these beings like this, but alongside them there were human beings like us. There's no evolution from apes to monkeys, as the Darwinists like to talk about. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, well, yes, there is a kind of evolution from ape to human being through the cycle of reincarnation. So he said Darwin was like that. You know, he and his followers, in their last human births, they were apes and monkeys, and now they've become human beings and are carrying out their ape and monkey-like activities in human bodies, for which they will get another ape or monkey body, because you can do those things better in that form. But the point here is, this is the, you know, we should, you know, keep in mind what's happening here in the fifth canto. We're getting a description of the universe. Not so much in terms of, you know, this planet is at this celestial latitude and longitude, and this planet moves like this or that, although some information like that is there in the fifth canto. We're mainly learning that, you know, the universe isn't just a place where, you know, stars and planets are whirling around in certain patterns. We learn in the Bhagavatam cosmology that there are personalities associated with all these different celestial bodies. That we're existing in a personal universe that's governed by conscious beings. And the most important thing to understand is not how the planets are moving, but what our relationship with these different conscious beings is. Of course, one type of conscious being that enters into the universe is the avatars of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Lord Ramachandra. These are very important events in, you know, the history of the universe, the very important parts of the universal cosmology according to the Bhagavatam. So in these prayers, we're learning how to adopt the proper attitude towards the Supreme Conscious Being that's behind the whole display of the material universe, the Supreme Person who enters into this universe in different forms. And in these prayers by the residents of the different parts of Jambadweep, we're learning how to adopt, you know, the proper attitude towards these different personalities. We're learning to understand what our position as conscious beings is. So this is in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his assistant demigods. So that's the overall context. And here we're learning something particular about the avatar Lord Ramachandra, who's described here as Martya Avatara, which Prabhupada translates as human being, you know, an avatar appearing in the form of a human being. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanam ashritam param bhavam ajananto mamabhuta maheshwaram, that these appearances of the Lord in the human-like form are very mystifying to some of the ordinary human beings who exist in this cosmos. They can't understand. They think the Lord is like one of them, being unaware of his higher nature as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is being emphasized here, that although Lord Ramachandra is displaying his human-like form, it's not that he's adopting it. He eternally has this form, but he's displaying it for a particular period of time within the material universe. He's displaying it for a particular purpose. For two particular purposes, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purport. Parachanaya sadhunam vinashaya chidushkutam. He's coming to destroy the demon Ravana, but also to instruct human beings in the proper attitude towards life in this material cosmos. In one of the videos of Srila Prabhupada's lectures that was shown during the recent Prabhupada festival here, Srila Prabhupada said something that struck me, you know, very deeply. He said, we shouldn't think that in this material world we're to be treated like some honored son-in-law. And he explained that in the Vedic culture, son-in-law is considered to be a very important person because the father has a duty to get the daughter married. So if he can find a good son-in-law to accept his daughter as a wife, that's considered to be, well, a great blessing. So the son-in-law is very much honored. You know, when he comes to the house, yes, how are you? Have a seat. Have some refreshment. Everything is very nice for the son-in-law. So, of course, he said it's no longer like that. Things aren't like that anymore. But he said we shouldn't expect to be treated like that in the material world. You know, we shouldn't think that everything is going to go fine, and that because in this material world there are going to be tribulations. That's the nature of this place. And the trick is to persist in the mission of the Lord despite all tribulations. That is the message. We can even look at, say, the life of Srila Prabhupada, a pure devotee of the Lord, who was sent here by Krishna for a mission, not an ordinary conditioned soul who's here suffering the results of karma. But still, if we observe his life, there are many apparent tribulations. He was, as a child, you know, chased down the street by rioters during some civil disturbances. So there were civil disturbances. He was in Calcutta when it was being bombed by the Japanese. He was there during great famines, through the struggles after India became independent. There were huge riots between the Hindus and the Muslims that were caused by the British. So he, on that level, he was exposed to many tribulations. He was also exposed to tribulations in the society of devotees, of which he was a part. He had to undergo many tribulations in that respect as well. In his personal family life, there were many, you know, tribulations that he underwent. In his business life, you know, his businesses sometimes failed. He had to go here or there. So in all aspects of his life, we can see that there were tribulations. But still, because he had a mission from Krishna, a mission that was confirmed by his spiritual master, who gave him the order to spread Krishna consciousness in the English language throughout the Western world. Because he remained faithful to that order, he was able to persist despite all tribulations, which weren't really tribulations from his point of view. As we learn here, a pure devotee is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss, and these apparent disturbances are simply another aspect of viraha bhava, the feeling of love and separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, although they were apparent tribulations from our point of view, from the point of view of the pure devotee, they're simply another aspect of his loving relationship with, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee, the bona fide spiritual master. So here in this example of Lord Ramachandra, we're also getting, you know, a similar lesson, you know, that in this material world, we have to adjust somehow. We have to take up some position in one of the ashramas: Brahmacharya ashram, Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha ashram, Sannyas ashram. And in all of these ashramas, there are going to be difficulties. There are going to be tribulations. And we can see in his different incarnations, sometimes Krishna's appearing as a sannyasi, or a grihastha, or a brahmachari, you know, as vamana, or as but in all of these, there's some apparent tribulations that have to be overcome, and that's a warning for us. So if one enters the Grihastha ashrama, one shouldn't think it's going to be a paradise. That yes, I'll have my independence, I'll have my own income, I'll have a loving wife and children or husband, and everything will be fine. You know, the main thing is one has to keep in mind one's ultimate mission and persist in that mission. But that doesn't give one the right to neglect one's legitimate responsibilities. You know, that's the lesson that's, you know, being given here. And I was also recently reading in my, you know, private readings in the Bhagavatam, you know, the story of Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj, of course, he was neglected by his father and stepmother. And therefore, he went out into the forest, and Narada Muni gave him some instruction. But then Narada Muni went back to the palace to see how the king was doing. And the king was actually feeling a little disappointed with himself, you know, that he had neglected his... He had two wives, one son by each wife, and he had neglected his first wife and son at the expense of the other. And therefore, they were, in his mind, undergoing tribulations. And Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that, yes, if one is a husband, if one has entered into the Grihastha ashram, one cannot neglect one's duties to one's, you know, wife and children. That's not a good thing. So Srila Prabhupada's also making, you know, that point in this purport, where he's explaining that, you know, one, you know, the faithful husband has a duty to give, you know, proper association, protection, facility to his wife, and by implication also children. While at the same time not forgetting his responsibility to the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in this world, as given personal instruction, the personal instruction about what exactly to do in this mission is given by the relevant authorities, the spiritual master. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Archita?
You know, because we're still hearing about avatars here, and there was some confusion about what actually constitutes a Leela avatar. I was just wondering if you did any further research on that. Remember, the statement was that there are no Leela avatars in Kali Yuga, but then we were discussing, well, what about Lord Buddha? What about Kalki? I mean, there are avatars that appear in the Kali Yuga. Why are they not considered Leela avatars? I just wondered if you had any clarification on that.
Well, that was the question I raised, and the reason I raised the question is because I didn't have an answer myself. I could speculate. I mean, normally we would like to find an answer in the direct words of Shastra, Guru, Shastra, Sadhu, and not try to rely on inference and speculation. So that was just a question I raised because in the same purport where it says there's no Leela avatars, there's reference to Leela avatars in Kali Yuga. Like we mentioned Buddha, Kalki, they are in the list of Leela avatars given by Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So, I could offer speculations. Well, Kalki comes maybe during the Yuga Sandhya, not in the Yuga itself, or he comes after Kali Yuga is over and in the transition to the next Yuga, and maybe, you know, Buddha, he's a Shaktivesha avatar, not Krishna himself. And, you know, you can speculate like that, but I just didn't really have it. That's why I asked the question, are there any learned sages here who may have some further commentary on that? Dravida Prabhu. But on this same point.
Just one additional speculation, if I may. There's just in my reading over the years. In all the avatars that we encounter, whenever Krishna was called God by his devotees such as Yudhishthira or Arjuna or Kunti, he never denied it. He accepted that. Even though many people did not know he was an avatar. Same with Lord Ramachandra. When his brother Lakshman, who was brother Bharat, said he was the Supreme Lord, again, he never denied it. He simply accepted this. In the case of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have the very opposite. When he is called Lord, he is called the glorious one, the Supreme Personality. He vehemently at times denies that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, notwithstanding the fact that to those very same devotees he revealed his two-arm form, his four-arm form, his six-arm form, and his universal form. So secretly he was revealing who he was, but on the other hand, externally he wanted to keep this quiet. And as I said in my own readings, I have never found any of the other avatars denying their avatarship, if you will.
Of course, I guess on that basis, you might also say that Buddha, for his followers, wasn't an avatar of Krishna. right? Yeah. Some of the devotees had an understanding, but he came to deny the Vedic literature. And then by the time Kalki appeared, there weren't any devotees, or there were very few hidden in the refuges waiting to repopulate the earth during the next Satya Yuga. So many speculations may be there. But we're still waiting for some authoritative shastric statement or statement by one of our recognized great acharyas on this point. Okay, Dravida.
I have a question. In Krishna Leela, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Krishna really enters into the pastimes with the gopis and the separation and everything, he will forget himself. He will sometimes forget himself by the agency of the yoga maya and really feel, you know, that he's... in other words, you forget that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead so that he can enter into the mood. That's there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the high intensity of the emotion of the Leela. Now, in the case of Lord Ramachandra, where it's explained at the end of this purport that you read, the long purport, that Vishnu Chakravarti has given the opinion that this is Varaha Bhava, Vishvamba Bhava. It's the high ecstasy of separation. Although, as is described in the Ramayana, it's agonizing. You know, it seems almost more agonizing than what Krishna's feeling or what Lord Chaitanya feels. Now, do we understand in that context that Lord Ramchandra is forgetting, in other words, that he's to enter into that mood, that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that really Sita is gone, and that he has to struggle to find him, he can't find him, and all that, he doesn't know where she is. He's omniscient, he's God, but he doesn't know where she is. He takes. So is that what we're learning here from this purport? That he covers himself over so he can enter into this mood of being a human being and being helpless, you know, to find Sita and then taking help.
I don't know. Sometimes one has to give that answer if one doesn't really know. I mean, the question is he in a state of forgetfulness or is he actually aware, like an actor? An actor he's aware of his real position, but he's aware that he's playing a part, playing a role. So is it that he's like an actor who's kind of simultaneously aware of who he is and then what he's doing, or is he so into it just completely forgets? And the answer is, I don't know, but...
Yeah, two things. First of all, with regard to the points raised by Dravida Prabhu and Amaladakta Prabhu, his forgetfulness of his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exactly a denial, but it's tacitly something pretty close. And I haven't read Ramayana in quite some time, but it was my impression when I did study that section of the Ramayana, when Lord Brahma had to come and remind Ramchandra of who he was and that he had a mission to perform, that the Lord was apparently forgetful of that, of his own identity. So, you know, we can interpret that as we will, but that's one point. And then the second thing is I had a question about something Prabhupada says in the second paragraph here. He says, human society is divided into two classes of men, those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. I was wondering if you can comment on what that means.
I was wondering if somebody was going to ask that. It appears to be a reference to what one might call the karma kandis, as opposed to the pure bhaktas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, stated, for example, that yes, there are so many even in the Vedic culture, there's so many rules and regulations, but we should follow those that help us in our advancement in, you know, devotional service and bhakti. And I think Rupa Goswami says something similar, that we're not, as bhaktas, we're not meant to follow every rule and regulation that's given, you know, in the Karmakanda sections of the Vedas, or and we actually have Vaishnava Smriti that is meant to give us what we should be following out of the many possible. Srila Prabhupada even said, if I told you all the rules and regulations, you'd faint or something like that. So we get from our acharyas which are the rules and regulations we should follow. It's not that devotees don't follow any rules and regulations. When we take initiation, we vow to follow certain rules and regulations. But we follow those rules and regulations that are helpful in developing pure love of God in the bhakti system. That's my understanding. Okay, one comment by Dravida and then we'll end.
When human society is divided into these two groups, that if they're not even following rules and regulations, they're not humans anymore. Right? That's not part of human society. I think that's the implication here.
Dvipada pashu.
Yeah. They're not following. They're not devotees. They're not following. They're outside human society.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.